Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Robert. For those of you that haven't been here before, welcome. So if you guys have never been to High Point Church before, I just want to let you know you're about to be blessed. Amen. You're about to really be blessed because the Holy Spirit is faithful, isn't He? Yes. Not only is He faithful, but this book is true. Amen. Isn't that amazing that this book is true and we can trust what it says? And anything in our life that doesn't line up with this book has to change. Amen. Just all there is to it. It has to change. So as I share the word with you today, I just, so good to see you. I just want you to really take in what I share with you today, okay? It's life changing. But for a lot of you, it's just going to confirm what you already know. Amen? Amen. So get your Bibles out. For those that are new to the Bible, we're going to go to the very first book, Genesis chapter 1. So I want to talk to you today about who you are. And not only who you are, who God says you are. And not only who God says you are, but who the Bible says you are. Okay? So we need to remind ourselves of these things occasionally. Amen? So I just want to remind you of a few things that you probably already know, but it's worth hearing again. And those of you that haven't heard it, now's the time for you to just lay aside all your preconceived ideas and really open up your hearts and your minds to be able to hear what I'm about to share with you, okay? Because it's life altering. So, let's begin. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you decided to create us and to give us purpose. And you have a plan. And you've made us part of that plan. And that, Father, there are no accidents in the kingdom of God. You deliberately chose us, Lord. And I thank you for the revelation that you've placed in these pages, Father, that we can glean the truth of who you are and who we are in you, that we can walk as you commanded and ordained us to walk in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let me just preface this. When is God the Father's birthday? He always was, she says. Do you guys agree? Was God always? Does he have a beginning date? Does he have an ending date? He just is. Does Jesus have a beginning date? Jesus as God. No, Jesus as a man on the earth did, right? But that was God becoming man so that man knows that God can relate to everything man is going through because he became a man, yet without sin, and paid the price for the sins of all men, right? And then ascended on high as a resurrected, ascended man, right? So that showing us the way of who we are. Holy Spirit, does he have a birth date? Okay, so are we in agreement that God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Son or the Word, and the Holy Spirit have no beginning dates? Okay, so they always were. Okay, I want you to just hold that in your heart and mind as we start reading some stuff, because it's very confusing when I read in the beginning. I am not talking about God when I'm talking about in the beginning. I'm talking about creation. Are you with me on that part? Okay, so God always has been. So when it says, in the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, what is he saying? Does it say that Jesus had a beginning? No. And it can be a little confusing, right? So we're talking about in the beginning of creation, God was the Word. So go to Genesis 1:1. I just need to establish this for you. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So is that in God's beginning? No, I'm belaboring this point. It's in the beginning of creation. So first of all, there was God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Word, God the Father, God the Spirit. And they were one. And they've always been. And now, all of a sudden now, they're going to add something. They're going to add creation. So in the beginning of creation was the Word. So this is, for lack of a better explanation, you just got to take this with a grain of salt. These are the very first words ever spoken, because God existed. And then soon as he spoke, he manifested in another element of who he is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Was there light yet? No, not in this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, what? Let there be light. So now he's just created light. There was darkness, and now he's just created light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So it's dark, the earth is there without void. God's created all of this and put it into place, and now he said, let there be light, and the light was in the darkness. And so in this darkness, light was created. And then he had to separate the light from the darkness. Right? Is that what the Bible says? I just need you to think through this picture with me, because it's going to be a template we're going to use. Okay? And the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, so God created this, and now we've got light separated from darkness. We're clear on that. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let's begin in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of creation was the Word of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so when he created this, the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Right? So Jesus, the Word, created everything. There's nothing created that Jesus, the Word, did not create. Are you in agreement with me? According to the Bible. In him was life. So, the Word that created everything was life. So, could you say life created everything? Yes. Okay. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines where? In the darkness. And the darkness what? Did not comprehend it. Okay, stop. Let's think for a moment. So, in the beginning was the darkness. God created, said, let there be light. And light was good. And light He's separated from the darkness. Okay? And this is saying, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. It didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to it. Okay? Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We're going to read down to 13. And this man came for a witness to bear light, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So, just like the darkness couldn't comprehend the light, the world couldn't comprehend the light. Okay? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, we're using a template. In the darkness, God spoke and created light from in the darkness. And out of that darkness, he separated the light. And he saw that the light was good. The Word is God, and nothing that's created has been created outside of him. He is the creator of all that exists and can be named. And that which exists and can be named could not comprehend him. Okay? And he, who is the creator of all, put this light in you and I. Now, where that light was created in you and I, the you and I that light is created in can't comprehend it. When you're born of the Spirit, that's what it says, of God, born from above, your spirit is now born and a new life is in you. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. We once knew Jesus according to the flesh, but we know him thus no longer according to the flesh, right? They walk with him as a man, but they don't see him as a man anymore. Now they see him as God. It says that you and I who believe are created as brand new creatures. The old things that were in our life have passed away, and behold, everything's brand new now. It's an entirely different game now. A whole different thing is going on now. Okay? And now that spirit that's in you is separated from where it was put. In other words, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay? The flesh cannot comprehend the things of God. It's enmity against the Spirit. Yes or no? The darkness could not comprehend the light. Any part of you that is of the flesh cannot align itself with God. It can't. It can't comprehend the things of God. It says in another part of the Bible that the natural man, this is foolishness to the natural man, because he cannot comprehend it. It's unfathomable that this could be true. Okay, have I made my point? That the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Go to John chapter 3, two chapters over. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And now Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a big shot in the church. He wears the nice clothes. He's got power and authority. What he says happens. These guys thought that they were above everybody else because everybody else was ignorant of the things of God according to them, because they knew the law and the common people didn't. So they were these higher position minded people, kind of like our political structure is now. They kind of think that the rules don't apply to them kind of guys. And Nicodemus was one of those. But when he started hearing Jesus talking and something was going on inside of him, where he had to find out, what is going on here? Something's different. Light is being established in this man. And now he has to go find out what's happening because he bumped into the life and the light. So as he did, he's talking to Jesus, and I'm going to go verse 3. Says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course not. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water, that's the normal birth process, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's no co-mingling. It's one or the other. Do you understand? 7. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. All he's saying here is this, is that when you had the light enter you, had the word enter you, had life enter you, you don't know how it happened. It just did. You believed in God, you acknowledged it, and it happened. The revelation and the light hit you on the inward parts, and it was there. And you don't know how it got there or where it's going to take you in your life or what's going to happen. But it surely is alive and working inside of you. And we can't see that happening, but we can surely see the effects of it, just like we can see the effects of the wind. We don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes, but we can see the leaves blowing, right? We can see the branches moving. We can feel it on ourselves. So it is with the Spirit of God. You may not see the Spirit of God, but you can see his effects in my life. I manifest the God that is in me. Are you with me? So I'm going to just go on down through here, and I'm going to move down, and let's read the last two verses in chapter 3, which is 20 and 21. No, I'm going to have to go up to 18. Sorry. And it talks about God sending Jesus for the sins of the whole world, that the whole world can be saved through him. Everybody has paid the price for everybody's sins. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. That's exciting stuff. So what are you saying, Pastor Robert? When you're born of the Spirit, which you are, I know most all of you, born of the Spirit, now you're real light, your real life, you're of the truth, and you now are like light, and you have the power over darkness. Okay? So does the darkness absorb the light? The light overcomes the darkness. Are you with me? Okay. So light overcomes darkness. Darkness can't comprehend the light. And the men whose deeds are evil prefer darkness because the light exposes that their deeds are evil. Yes or no? It's just what the Bible says. I've added nothing to it. Okay. So now you need to look at this. You yourself are the light because the Spirit of God's in you. So you now are the one who overcomes the darkness. You do. Okay? But here's a conundrum. So many of us can say that Jesus lives in me, that I'm the temple of the Most High God, that I'm born again and of the Spirit, but there's a disconnect because the things of light are not actually manifesting through me in a lot of areas when it comes to healings, for one. Now, how is that possible if light has come into you that the healings aren't manifesting? How's that even possible? So when Jesus entered you, did Jesus enter you? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Did he change when he came inside of me? Did he stop being Jesus when he came inside of me? So the guy that walked on water came inside of me, Christ. The guy that did the miracles came inside of me. He's still inside of me, right? The one that heals the lepers, the raises the dead, the one who does Luke 4, 18 and 19. Right? The one who heals the sick, casts out demons, raises the dead. He's inside of me, right? Yes or no? Yes. Is he inside of you? Yes. Okay. So has he stopped being him inside of you? He hasn't. He has not stopped being himself inside of you. So what is going on then, you guys? If you're not seeing healings, if you're not seeing these things that Jesus did, and Jesus is in you and he's still himself, he hasn't stopped being him. He didn't give up that to come inside of you. It says that you and him are joined together in one spirit. So if we're one spirit, then aren't we that spirit? We are that spirit. The spirit of Christ who dwells in me. That's who I am. Okay? Here's the problem. Half of Christendom at least doesn't believe that's true. They'll say the words, but they do not believe that they're one spirit with God and that he is who he is and he continues to be who he is through me. What we do in the church is we're us and we ask God to move on our behalf. If we say the right words, we want God to fulfill those right words. If we act the way we're supposed to act, if we do what we're supposed to, if we don't sin, then maybe God will be God to me. That's not what he said. He said he came to dwell in you as the healer. Right? Yes, he did. And so God is God in you and me. And that's tough because why? The darkness cannot comprehend the light. So, we have to figure this out. Well, it just so happens, Paul addressed it to the Ephesian church. So let's go over to Ephesians and see what Paul was talking to the Ephesians about. I'm going to jump around in Ephesians. I'm not going to go straight through the chapters, okay? I might, but I want to jump around for a little bit, if that's okay with you. Starting in chapter 5, I want to go to verse 8. Guys there? Chapter 5, verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Does that sound like a suggestion? It doesn't, does it? Darn. That means I have to be the light. No, it says I am the light. If I don't think I'm the light, I'm not going to be able to manifest and remove darkness if I don't believe I'm the light. I'm going to think God's the light. But if God, who is the light and the life, became one light with me, the light of men, then I'm the light too. It's not replacement theology. I'm not taking his place. I'm saying we're one. He never stopped being him. I never stopped being me. But we're one now. So I'm the light because he's the light and he's one with me and he's never going to stop being the light. So I'm the light too if I'm one with him. Yes or no? It's important that we really get this, you guys. The separation theology is really stumping a lot of Christians from manifesting healing in their body because they're thinking they're not in charge. And you are. And it's not humility that separates us from God. It's the flesh. It's not honoring God when you don't believe you're who he says he is. You have to believe him. And Paul instructed the Ephesians in this very clearly. It says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So, let's just clarify this. How many of you have the Lord in you? About a third of you. So the others don't have the Lord in them yet? Okay, if you don't have the Lord in you, then you need to get born again so that you have the Lord in you. Otherwise, what I'm talking about is not you. You won't comprehend what I'm talking about, all right? And I want you to be able to understand what I'm saying here. So if you have the Lord in you and you're one spirit with him like it says, then will he ever not be in you? Think about this. What if you sin? Is he not? Does he leave if you sin? What if you're in unbelief? Does he leave if you're in unbelief? No. How about if you don't tithe? Does he leave if you don't tithe? No. So when does he leave? What can you do? How can you be, think, do that would cause him to leave you? What? He says he'll never leave. So is there anything at all that you can possibly be a part of in any capacity where God will leave you? So, if God will never leave you and he will never forsake you and he can't help but be himself, he'll never stop being himself, not ever, then you're the light. You got to get this. You're never separated from God. That means anything he is, you are. And anything in you that can't comprehend that is darkness. And it has to go. You need to bring light into that area. So the light can remove the darkness or convert the darkness, however you want to say it. If I turn off, block all these windows and turn off these lights and it's pitch black in here, where did the darkness come from? In the beginning, there was always darkness, right? God lived in the darkness. And then he created light and separated the light from the darkness and said, oh, the light is good. Now, whenever light is present, it what? It cancels darkness. Darkness doesn't go anywhere. It cancels darkness. It doesn't absorb darkness. It doesn't eat darkness. It doesn't make darkness flee. It cancels darkness, right? If you have plus one, plus negative one equals zero, right? Because they cancel each other out. Light overpowers and cancels darkness. Yes or no? Darkness cannot comprehend that. It's unfathomable to the darkness that there's something so great that I don't exist anymore in its presence. Get this in you guys, come on. It's not hard, but it's tough if it doesn't have an entrance into your identity. It's got to get an entrance into your identity. God's very clear. You are light. That means darkness cannot stand against you. Period. Not ever. When can darkness ever stand against the light? Give me one example. None. Maybe you can say a black hole. A black hole absorbs the light. You know, but none of us live in black holes. There's not one on the earth, so it doesn't really affect you and me. So, and I've never seen a black hole. So, but other than that, light always consumes the darkness. It always overshadows the darkness. It always overtakes the darkness. It always overpowers to the point that darkness is not present, noticeably so. It's only when light is removed, then the darkness shows. Yes or no? Ephesians says, let's just walk past verse 8 in chapter 5. Let's just walk down a little bit, okay? I'm going to start in 8 again. Are you with me? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So now he's saying that if you're light, then it's Spirit, and there's fruit in the Spirit. So the Spirit is the light. Right? It did say that when we read in John chapter 1. And that light is the Spirit of God who's in you, who overshadows the darkness. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What? Think about this, you guys. So now you and I, who have light in us and the Spirit in us, who has life in us, now we have to, carrying this light, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do I manifest now? How do I do this thing? This man that now has the Spirit of God, who is the life and the light in him, how do I do this? So I have to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Lord, how am I doing this? What's the right way with you? Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You're not that anymore. You're light now. So now you need to separate, like God separated the light from the darkness. You have to separate now in you what's of light, what's of darkness. And now he's going to give us some gauges so that we can see, do we think of ourselves now as darkness still, or do we see ourselves as light? How do I call my reality of who I am? The reality that I live in of who I am. Not who somebody else says I am, who I say I am by how I manifest. How do I see myself now? Since I'm light. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, which the light automatically does, right? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest. How? By the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Stop. Whatever makes manifest is light. So in other words, you couldn't see the darkness until there was light. Darkness just was. And there was nothing to offset it, to notice that it existed. Get this, you guys. There was nothing to prove that darkness was darkness, not even to itself, because it simply was. So now it needed something, a reciprocal, that can let it see what it is. So that's light. And so he separated the light from the darkness so you can see that this is this and this is this. Before, you couldn't see this is this and that is that. You couldn't see that this is darkness and this is light. He pulled it out and said, this is light, this is darkness, light is good. So now he's telling you to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. Now, you're going to see by light showing what is darkness. You can't see the darkness unless there's light, right? There's another thing the Bible says, that the law was created to revive sin. Sin was revived in the law. In other words, where there is no law, there is no sin. Why? Because there's nothing to expose it. There's nothing that causes you to recognize it as such. Can you hear me? So the light exposes whatever is made manifest. It's made manifest by this light that you are. Let's go on. Verse 14. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Are you with me on that? Okay, so in other words, he's going to tell us now, he just told us, wake up. He's not saying, open your eyes from being in bed all night. The roosters are crowing, the sun is rising, wake up. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that in your reality now, wake up in your reality. Wake up in who you say you are. Wake up in your identity. Wake up in your reality. And when you wake up in your reality, arise from the dead. In other words, you're not that anymore. Your life now. The light is the life. Your life now. The Spirit of God in you has made you yourself life. Doesn't it say that by that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells in you? That Spirit in you is what's going to raise your mortal bodies into the everlasting kingdom of God. Yes or no? Yes. So we wake up to the fact that that resurrecting life is my own Spirit and God's Spirit in me as one Spirit, as one life. Therefore, Jesus was able to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Didn't he say that? And he dwells in you, and he's still the resurrection and the life in you. And as you learn how to comprehend this light that is in you as you, you will wake up from the dead and Christ's light will shine in you. Because that's the truth of who you are. But you have to wake up to it, because otherwise you won't comprehend that this is true. Flesh cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. And if you don't understand this, you're in the flesh. And you have to wake up. It's not a choice. It is a choice, but it's not a gentle suggestion. It's a command. Wake up to who you are. You are life and light and love. You are that. You are health. You are freedom. You are the resurrection and the light, because Christ is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to separate himself from you. You're one Spirit, and that's his Spirit and who he is. Therefore, you are too, because you're one Spirit. And the only way you can say it's not true is if you separate yourself from God and stay in the flesh, because the flesh is enmity against God, and it cannot comprehend the things of God. Romans chapter 8. Listen, this is serious. This is a way of living, that we put God first in every aspect of who I am, because I'm one with him. And I have to constantly be aware of that fact, or I will drop down into being a natural man or woman. And then things will seem too big for me. Let's go on. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's noticing everything around you. See that you're walking, noticing absolutely everything around you. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because what? The days are evil. Bingo. If you do not walk as the light, if I do not walk as the light, this day is evil. And it will consume me. And I will start absorbing the darkness. I will start manifesting the darkness, the doubt, the unbelief, sexual immorality, debauchery, swearing, coarse jesting, alcohol, inferiority complex, insecurities, self-doubt, wondering what's wrong with me, flesh, 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 flesh. Can't comprehend the things of God. So you have to be circumspect, walking around, being aware of everything that's going on around you to notice this. I am the light. And I, where I come in me, my presence, because Christ and I are one spirit together, I will manifest who I think I am. It will happen. There's just no changing. Who I think I am is going to manifest. So how do we tell who we are? How do other people tell? Because as the wind blows, no one knows where it comes from or where it goes, but you can see the effects of it. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that my words are spirit and they are life. So what are your words? Are you speaking words of life? Is that the effects of the Spirit of God in you? Are your words His words? Or are they separate from Him? It goes on to talk about don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody unto the Lord. It says that in verse 19, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Why? 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 Because it's very easy in this dark and fallen world to be separate from being the light of God. Listen, I'm telling you, if you get this, if I get this even more, if we get that we are the light, Peter in Acts said that Jesus is the one that does the works. Yes. He's the one that receives all the glory. Yes. True. Yes. Don't you and I say the same thing? Everything we have, it came from Christ. Everything we have, it came from Christ. We don't have the light if it isn't for Christ. We don't have the anointing because that's the Spirit of God. We don't have the power except that He gave it to us. Yes, right? That's the truth. And He turned right around and Peter said, "Such as I have, I give unto you." Why? Because it's Christ in him, the hope of glory, but it's Christ in him. In him, in you. It's Christ in you. So such as you have, you can give. You're the light because Christ is in you. So you give it life, light, healing, all of it because it's who you are. But if you won't let it be, then you're asleep. You're asleep in the spirit. And you can say all the right words, but you'll get no effect of exposing the darkness. The darkness will not leave. You won't be able to remove the darkness if you don't realize you're the light. And I don't say you just say the words. You have to wake up to the fact that you're the light. It has to be your revelation. It has to be alive inside of you that you are light. Listen, this is not a game. This is not something second graders talk about. Listen, this is about the people that are doing the work of God. This is about the people who are manifesting the kingdom. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and you're going to do it through me. We are sons of God. We are sons of light. That's who you are. You're not trying to get anything from God. You just need to manifest the truth. And you can't manifest the truth if you don't believe the truth. Isn't this a joyful message? Gosh, doesn't this make you just want to shout hallelujah? Yes, it does. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I kind of thought it would go over like that. Yeah, the wheels are turning. It's crunch time. I know, it's crunch time. Listen, if you are not in the Spirit, I'm not saying I'm in the Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. If you don't realize who you are, you won't manifest that aspect of yourself. Who is Christ in you? Let's back up in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. We can all say yes and amen to these verses, but listen, if you're not exposing it in the world, if the world can't see the effects of you, then you aren't there yet. It's just the truth. That means it's between you, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God to get it in you. I'm being honest with you guys. This idea of, well, it's all Jesus. If that's what he wants to do, that's what he'll do, gets you nowhere. And this begging and pleading, my heart cries out to so many people that have needs that are unmet because they don't believe the truth of who they are. And it's horrible because the devil never stops being the devil. Darkness never stops being darkness. And the days never stop being evil. And the effects of it is affecting their bodies, their temples of God, because they don't know how to rule over their bodies. Go with me real quick to Thessalonians. I want to show you one thing. Just real quickly. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go back to Ephesians. I'm not leaving that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to read now. It's on the screen. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Each one of us has to learn how, in our own flesh and blood, to have honor and sanctification in my body. How do I sanctify this fleshly temple? How do I do it? Each one of us needs to know how to do that. That each of you should know how to possess it. That means the Holy Spirit in you and the Bible have got to get together and start figuring it out, that you may know what is acceptable to God. Another place says that you need to renew your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You have to figure it out. That's where you go to school again. All right, go back with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 3? So we're going to hit some of 3, some of 4, some of 5. Okay? Chapter 3. Verse 14, we all know this prayer of Paul's in verse 14. But I need you to come down and look at verse 19 with me. No, I'll start in 17. 17, 18, and 19. I might go to the end. Ready? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to what? comprehend. Stop. You need to figure it out. You don't wait for me to tell you, or Pastor Trey to tell you, or TV evangelist to tell you, or some other person that was born 100 years ago tell you. You need to figure it out. Between you, your Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Not any other person. You, your Bible, and your Holy Spirit. That you would be able to comprehend with everybody else. Just like everybody else has to do it, you got to do it too. With all the saints, what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height? You need to figure out how big this thing really is and how far it goes. This light that you are, how far does it shine? How far does it shine? Jesus said, "Let there be light," and it hasn't stopped since. And now that you are light, how far do you shine? You need to be able to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of it. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. So, and it goes on to say, well, let me just read it so I don't. It says, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power of this light inside of you. According to the power that works in you." So, you have to figure this out, guys. It's not a, "Oh God, please do this for me." And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm trying to say you need to flip the switch and let the light go on, that you are the light. You are the life. You are everything that Jesus is because you're one spirit with him. You're not taking any credit away from him by manifesting the way he manifested on the earth. God became a man to show us the way we're supposed to live. And everything that Jesus did, he still does through you. Everything. There's no difference. And it's tough. Darkness can't comprehend this. It's really hard. The natural mind says this is stupid. It's foolish. How can this possibly be? Don't you know I'm just a mortal man? I need you, God. That's flesh talking. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. It just doesn't work. It's by faith, you guys. It's all by faith. You need to believe the Bible and that it doesn't change. It's the truth until your flesh relents and obeys. Till it finally lets go and does what you say, obeys you. Turn the page. The New Man, chapter 17. Because what it does, between 3 and 17, he's talking about that Jesus took captivity captive, gave gifts to men, which are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that they would all be the ones that are talking to everybody else so that everybody else would figure out who they are so that they can become the full measure of the stature of the Son of God, you. That's what it says in Ephesians there. That we're supposed to teach you that you are the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his spirit dwells in you. But if your mind has a doctrine in it that says that's not possible or that means something else, then that's how it's going to manifest in your life. It can't comprehend that this could be possibly true. It's too good to be true. How can this be true? It's too much. And each one of us working together in love prove that it's true. Then it goes into 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer." These are Christians that should no longer do these things. "That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." These is the Ephesians church he's talking to who became Christians. "In the futility of their minds, That's the obscurity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Being strangers to the life of God. Where's this life at? It's inside of you, inside of me. That's where it's at. You are the life of God. But look at this says. It says that, it says, having their understandings darkened, being alienated or strangers from the life of God because of what the ignorance, they didn't understand it, that is in them because of what? The blindness of their heart. Their eyes weren't open to who they were. They weren't awake yet. They weren't risen yet in their hearts. Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, all works of uncleanness and greediness. Now verse 20. You need to comprehend who you really are. And so by renewing your mind. And so what does it say? But you have not so learned Christ. You have to learn Christ. Not learn another being who is called Christ. You need to learn Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. You have to learn who you are. If indeed you have heard him, who? Jesus, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So if you and Jesus don't get together so that you cannot walk in the darkness or obscurity of your mind being asleep to who you really are, because the world can't comprehend it, it's crazy to them, but you can, because you have Jesus who's going to teach you who you are. And when Jesus teaches you who you are, then you will walk as Christ on the earth. It's not replacement theology. And a lot of people get stuck. They don't say it is, but their brain short circuits. They want to be two. It's me, and it's the Lord over there. And they don't mean to. It's too much for me to get that I'm not somehow shaming him if I say I'm like him or that I can do what he can do. And therefore, what happens is no light. So it goes on to say, he doesn't stop there. Verse 19, who being past, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So he's only telling you the truth of who you are. That's it. That you put off concerning your former conduct. You put off this other way of thinking of yourself, that you are less than him. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You have to decide to be who God made you to be. You have to do it. You have to comprehend it. You have to go to school with God. You and him alone. And you have to get there and get in his face, and he gets in your face. You draw near to him. He draws near to you. And as those times go on, you contend with him. You talk these things out with him and the Bible. And you get to the point that you believe him. That you are everything he is. And you manifest it. And as you do that, the darkness is exposed. And as it's exposed, it's wiped away. Sin doesn't go someplace. It's not being collected in a bucket somewhere. It's being utterly removed. You have to learn how to hold your own flesh sanctified and holy, pure. You are that. The Spirit of God makes you that way. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in the Spirit, who no longer walk according to the flesh. And as you start identifying yourself as the Spirit of God, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, love itself embodied in you by the Spirit who is imparting to you the deep things of God and who He is to your spirit, who you really are. But it's Spirit to Spirit teaching you. It says that Jesus teaches you. If you hear Him, and if you do, you have the same fruit He has. Are you with me? And it says, goes on in Ephesians, that after you get all of that and realize you are the light and that you're filled in the Spirit, then you put on the armor of God. Finally, brethren, put on the full armor of God, that I am sanctified in my mind and I'm saved. I am righteous. I do live in the truth. I am ready to tell everybody this good news. Everyone. Because I am set in who I am now. I am as Jesus is. Because I've put on Christ. You've put on Christ. Are you with me? I hope this was an encouraging message. But it takes thinking, you guys. It takes doing your own homework. Really. When you realize you are a son of God, I'll call you a daughter of God just because so many of you are feminists in a good way. Just like I'm the bride of Christ, and there's no such thing as same-sex marriage in heaven. So I'm a woman, you're a man, because there's not gender in spirit. All right? So when I say you're sons of God, I mean we all are. And when you realize you are exactly like your Father and your Lord, and you get that down, that that is the truth. Now, anything I believe about myself, anything my body is speaking to me that is lying against that truth, I have to hold firm the reality of who I am in the Spirit by Christ Jesus and the Word of God until this relents and obeys me. This is not the truth. This is a manifestation of the evil days. This is a manifestation of those who are out to kill, steal, and destroy from me. But I have to wake up to who I am so that the light shines from me, through me, to others. And therefore, at that moment, my belly will flow rivers of living water by the Spirit of God who dwells in me to all of you. Do we have some work to do? We have some work to do. But the Bible is the Bible, and we need to take it in strong doses and get serious with God. Because some of us have issues, I'm being honest, some of us have issues that there's a timetable to it. And He says to walk circumspectly. Really, you need to really look at what's going on around you, because the days are evil and they're designed to take you out. And you need to know that. So you need to make it serious, get focused. Lord, what do I need to read? What do I need to study? How do I pray? What do I say? Lord, what do you want me to set my mind on the things above? How do you want me to think? How, Holy Spirit, are you going to remind me to reapply my attention in that direction? When I slip and I forget, how are you going to quicken me to focus back in again? How am I going to stay on track, Lord? How am I going to run this race, Lord? How am I going to do this? And you need to figure out your part. And then when you get your part, when you know what your part is, because you and God have learned that you're comprehending and apprehending this truth, being diligent, vigilant, really focused in on this, comprehending, apprehending, manifesting, being, then you can share your part with others. And they can share their part with you. And we continue. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you and thank you for walking with us and in us. Lord, I just ask that you teach us, that we hearken unto your word, that we set our attention on you. You said that if we do that, that we will have shalom, shalom, perfect peace, because we trust you. Our minds are stayed on you. And that we should no longer set our minds on the things of this world, but on the things above, where we are seated at the right hand of the Father, citizens of heaven, walking from a victorious, living from a victorious, overcoming point of view. And Lord, I just ask that each one of us, Father, would take seriously the word of God and lay hold of it until it manifests like the wind in the trees, that you see the effects of it. And then we will be the prophecy that says that your miracles will follow us, that your great deeds will follow us, because we believe. Father, you said that to Jesus, said, not to believe what I say, but for the works that I do, believe them. And Jesus told John the Baptist's disciples, tell him what you've heard and seen, because Jesus manifested the kingdom. Father, that each one of us would manifest your kingdom. Each one of us would take responsibility to comprehend and apprehend and renew our minds and conform ourselves to the thing of the Spirit, that our deep would call unto deep and we would be taught by you, Lord. And I trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.